Good evening, everyone. Last week, we talked about how Freud's ideas began to spread, via him just telling people about them. Psychoanalysis as a theory grew in prominence, which led to more interest, which then led to more people proposing their own ideas about how the mind and mental illness worked. The problem with that is that Freud didn't care for these new ideas very much. Freud, while confident that his new psychoanalytic theories must be correct, was also acutely aware that the scientific evidence for his theories was lacking. Unfortunately, instead of, you know, conducting research to improve his theories, Freud opted instead to present his theory in a way that discouraged questioning, and made disproving the theory basically impossible. Deviating from his specific clinical practices was frowned upon, and dissent was responded to with outright rejection. The first major figure to face removal, Alfred Adler, the most well-known at the time of the original Four Wednesday Psychological Society founders. Before meeting Freud, Adler was already interested in mental illness and had his own ideas. He actually believed the mind to be inseparable, as opposed to Freud's belief in three parts. Freud, of course, also believed that sex was behind all mental conflicts, which Adler rightfully disagreed with, believing that aggression could just as easily be a source of mental conflict. Despite these differences, clearly they once got along. Freud, after all, did seek out Adler for his first meetings, and once described Adler as, quote, the only personality there in the early days of the Wednesday Psychological Society. But scientific disagreements alone may not have been the only factor in their break. Freud was a stereotypical scientist, cold, focused, and uninterested in politics. Most of his patients were wealthy, highly educated members of Vienna society. In contrast, you might recall from last week that Adler was a known and prominent socialist who associated with working class people, and probably had some serious disdain for Freud's clientele. Regardless of the causes, their relationship clearly soured later on. When asked about conflicts between psychiatrists, Freud replied, quote, "It is not the scientific differences that are so important. It is usually some other kind of animosity, jealousy, or revenge that gives the impulse to enmity. The scientific differences come later." It's heavily implied that he was referring to Adler at the time. In 1911, Freud publicly declared Adler's ideas contrary to the movement of psychoanalysis, accusing Adler of being paranoid and using, quote, terrorist tactics to undermine his ideas, whatever that means. Behind closed doors, Freud also told his friends that Adler was, quote, an abnormal individual driven mad by ambition, which I think is probably a little dramatic. Freud was not the only one talking a lot of smack, though. Whenever anyone later asked Adler about Freud, he would angrily whip out the original postcard that Freud had sent him, and point out that Freud had initially sought him out and not the other way around. Apparently, this went on for Adler's entire life. Even just months before his death, when another psychiatrist asked him about his once friendship with Freud, Adler angrily denounced Freud as a swindler and a schemer. Adler wasn't the only old friend of Freud to abandon ship, though. Or maybe to walk the plank would be a more appropriate description. Wilhelm Steckel, the man who originally told Freud to make the Wednesday Psychological Society, would later be expelled too. However, perhaps most significant to Freud was the betrayal, at least in Freud's eyes, of Carl Jung, a fairly famous psychiatrist himself. Their relationship began very warmly in 1906 with Freud reading Jung's book, which was heavily influenced by psychoanalysis. Freud invited Jung to his home in Vienna, where they talked for 13 hours straight. An absurdly long time to talk to anyone, in my opinion, much less someone you just met. They traded essays, and then Jung was elected the first president of the International Psychoanalytic Association. And Freud later even described Jung as, quote, his adopted eldest son, his crown prince, and successor. Clearly, Freud really liked Jung at some point. However, they did have their differences. To start, Jung was a very spiritual soul, believing, for example, in synchronicity, the idea that coincidences in life were cosmically orchestrated. Jung's psychoanalysis-specific heresy was that he didn't feel sexual conflict was the center of everything, and also believed in a collective unconsciousness, an unconscious part of the mind that was shared by our entire species. Freud, in contrast, was a staunch atheist, disliking this idea of collective unconsciousness, and of course believed sex to be the supreme cause of mental conflicts. Over time, Freud became increasingly concerned with Jung's unscientific ideas harming the movement, despite not being concerned with his own unscientific ideas harming his movement. Finally, in 1912, Jung and Freud met for the last time, at a meeting of Freud's closest associates. They discussed over lunch a recent paper about an Egyptian pharaoh, which Jung commented on, saying that too much had been made of this pharaoh erasing his father's name from all inscriptions. Apparently, Freud took this very personally, and criticized Jung for leaving him out of his recent publications. Freud worked himself up so much that he apparently fell to the floor in a faint. Unsurprisingly, Jung parted ways with Freud soon after, and would go on to form his own school of psychiatry. Despite all this drama and internal fighting, psychoanalysis did become increasingly influential. By 1910, psychoanalysis was one of the most popular forms of therapy in Europe, especially among the upper and middle classes, and especially among Jews, likely due to Freud's clientele being from these groups. Beyond psychiatry, Freud's theories were also influential in the arts. By 1920, every educated European would have heard of Freud, even if not everyone was using his theories or his therapy, a testament to Freud's great influence. However, next week, psychoanalysis is to jump across the Atlantic to the United States, which is where we'll pick up. As always, thanks for listening. If you'd like to contact me, use the links in the show notes, and if you like what you hear, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Finally, thanks to Jojo Tang for editing, Angie Lee for our cover art, and MuseOpen for this music.